Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Neil Haley Show. You can check me out on Twitter at TotalTutor and NeilHaley.com. And I'm excited to welcome the program from the Blue Man Group. When I think of the Blue Man Group, it's like an iconic thing to me. And I just think of them all the time in specific commercials and different things since they've come out. And I'm excited to welcome the program one of the members, Matt Ramsey. Matt, thanks for calling. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely, Matt. And it's definitely an interesting thing when you tell people that you're a member of the Blue Man Group, right? When you talk to people on the street or you're just, you know, you're not in character and you tell people, and then what are their thoughts at first thinking about it? You know, when they're the first sighting and different things of the Blue Man Group, when you tell them you're part of that.
Yeah, you know, when I tell people what I do for a living, I have become used to saying I'm a performer, you know, as opposed to, hey, I'm in a show right now. I don't lead off with Blue Man Group because sometimes it's so difficult to describe it, you know. I love to talk about it. Don't get me wrong. I love talking about the character. I love talking about the show and the joy it brings people. And it's really a thrill to be able to perform in it. But it is so hard to describe what it is, you know. And so when people ask me, you know, oh, what do you do? When it comes around to Blue Man Group, they either have two reactions. One's like, oh, I love that show. I've seen it before. Fantastic. And they have lots of questions, of course. Or the other one is, oh, that's, you know, they kind of tilt their heads. What's Blue Man Group? That sounds interesting. And then I have to do what I've done so many times, and I still struggle through it, is describe what in the world Blue Man Group is. I'm getting better at it. And of course, it's a wonderful show, and I just describe to them that it's a performance that incorporates humor and pop culture,
exactly,
and rock music, and a euphoric kind of dance party, bringing all kinds of strangers together and bring them in an environment of, you know, tight connection through this character that doesn't speak and is covered in blue paint and is bald.
So
that's when the conversation gets really interesting, if they have no preconception of the show or if they've never seen the character and that sort of thing. But it's really fun to talk about it.
So tell me the history of the Blue Man Group.
Well, it started a long time ago with these three close friends. You know, they were friends in school. In fact, two of them, I think their friendship went back to high school. So they'd known each other for years and years before this sort of project, what has become now, sort of took its form. In the early days, they were just three friends, and there was a lot more of this core group of creative people in New York City who were very involved and interested in pop culture and literature and art and music. But they were also, you know, curious about what made certain things popular in our culture and what things in art and music drew people in. And they were also sort of frustrated with the state of art and music and what was popular. And they had a very specific idea of what they wanted to do. And so simply they just started doing it. They got a group of friends together. They would form salons and discuss art and discuss theater and discuss performance and what brings people together and how people connect and why. And it just sort of took the character sort of was born out of those salons. They started performing in small little, you know, what we call happenings around New York City.
Right, right.
And, and early on, they got some media coverage, and slowly people started to become aware of it. And it was really sort of bizarre and in the underground theater world when it first started, which gave it a lot of interest. And people were coming from all over to try and see this really unique theatrical experience. And it just grew from there. So from the very beginning, they were always interested in how to bring people together, how to connect people who come from very different backgrounds, and what makes people, what do people share? What is the common denominator of all, you know, of humanity? And they have found this really wonderful recipe and through the character. And it's just really a thrill to see, you know, I have the pleasure of seeing it in action every night. You know, I get to walk out on stage and see people
exactly, yeah,
all over the world. You know, people who don't even speak English or who some people are deaf, or, you know, it really doesn't matter. The language is not a barrier with this show to bring people together. It's the experience that we all create together, and that's what draws people in. And it's just really a pleasure to see that happen night to night.
So now here's a question, Matt. So how do you think that it went viral? Before viral, in a different way,
yeah.
This thing. What did the guys say that just so that it just became this trend, and the Blue Man Group showed up everywhere? I forget what caused that craze that stays today.
Yeah. I don't know if there is one thing first of all, I don't think that was really ever a plan to make this become sort of a global phenomenon. I think it really was just an effort of these artists to figure out how to connect with people and how to express themselves through music and art and humor. And it really just caught on. I mean, I think sort of what I mentioned earlier about all people love to be in the presence of this character. Like when they experience a Blue Man show, it doesn't matter where you're from or who you are, what language you speak, you form a bond. You know, there's something special that happens in the theater, in that space. And I think it's just a lot of it was word of mouth. I think a lot of it, of course, was media before the internet was really what the internet is now. And that's why it probably was such a slow burn, maybe by our current standards of this thing spreading. But I think it really was just the fact that they tapped into something that is common in all of us, that desire to be a part of something special with strangers, you know, connecting with strangers and realizing that language doesn't matter, that your culture doesn't matter, that where you're from and your upbringing, your socioeconomic status doesn't matter. All of those things fall away and they leave feeling like, I can't believe I just experienced that with all of these people, you know. So I think that's probably the special ingredient. But the how, I think, is just it was sort of a slow burn by our standards now. But I don't ever think that it was that was like a steamrolling goal of theirs. Like how can we get this to as many people as possible? It just was something that happened that way, you know.
Exactly. And I remember, I forget what show in the first time I saw the Blue Man Group. And then when you experience anything from a YouTube to just watching them at the first time, it's just unlike anything else. And that's what, yeah. That's what your show is like. When people go and experience going to a Blue Man Group event, there's tons of different things that they experience in that time period, right, of the performance, correct?
Yeah, there's music. There's a lot of video and lighting and special effect elements. There's certainly humor. I mean, it's all sort of based in the desire to make people laugh and feel lighthearted about the things that we're doing on stage, even though some of the things we're doing on stage can be a little pointed at times. I mean, the character embraces all of the elements of our current pop culture, but it also sort of pokes fun at it and explores why are these things popular. I think the great benefit of this Blue Man character is that he is an outsider. This character is not part of our culture. We don't really define where the character is from or what he is. It's just very clear that he is not part of our culture, you know, and the benefit of that is that we can explore as the character, we can explore all these things. We can explore pop culture, popular music, popular art, and at the same time, kind of poke fun at it and show the audience and sort of ourselves, like, is this worth all the attention? Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. Maybe we should put our focus here. Maybe we should play around with this. Maybe we should twist this and turn it on its head and discover something brand new that we hadn't seen before, you know? So, when people walk into the theater, it should be a transformative experience. The space itself is very different than most theaters you walk into. There is a lot of video elements, you know, as the show progresses through the years,
yes, yes.
We, like I said, we take on the pop culture of the time. And so, you know, the internet and social media and iPhones and gadgets, that is now part of the fabric of our culture.
Yes.
And the blue men embrace that. And like I said, they'll kind of turn it on its head, poke fun of it, and use it in a new, wonderful, creative way. You'll see music. Someone might be brought on stage. Another wonderful thing about the show, part of why I've been doing it for so long and still love it, is that we don't, there's no separation between the blue men and the audience. We will literally look directly at the audience and in their eyes. And in fact, we come off the stage and interact with them. And sometimes we'll bring someone up on stage to participate with us. So it's a really unique experience. And the point of that, I think it's a very important part of the show, that when people are a little uncomfortable, in a safe way, of course, but when they're a little uncomfortable and maybe not sure what to expect, they are in a position, I think, emotionally, to experience something new and have a new,
exactly,
have their minds changed about something. And so we have a really unique experience to go into the audience. They get a little uncomfortable. We can actually possibly bring someone on stage. And then it's just, let's see what happens. Let's see what happens together.
Yes, yes,
you know?
Yes. Definitely.
It's really fun.
Absolutely. Some of your latest projects that are going on with the Blue Man Group, tell us about those.
Yeah, you know, the shows in the city, we have many shows throughout the United States that are permanent sit-down productions. And those, you know, it's a lot of work to keep those shows running, but also to update the content. You know, like I said, the part of the show is to stay abreast with what's going on in popular culture. And so the show needs to adjust as pop culture changes. So part of the content, part of creating this new content and updating the shows means that we have to go to each city and update the content, bring in new equipment, write new music, all this sort of thing. So it can be a time-consuming thing, but we're constantly working on updating these shows to keep them relevant and fun, and to make sure that people, no matter where they're from and no matter what generation they're from, I think that's also important. The show appeals to kids who are glued to their devices as much as it appeals to, you know, their grandparents who may not understand what in the world their grandkids are doing with this phone in their hand. And so it's really a wonderful way to keep the shows relevant. And so to update these shows, of course, it takes a lot of work, and we're constantly doing that. We're constantly creating new material, writing new music, and systematically dropping them into the show. So it takes, I would say on average, every 4 years or so, there's a major update. But then every, you know, there are several times, sometimes several times in 1 year, that we get minor updates, you know, just to keep the shows fresh and relevant and exciting. So those are the shows in the United States. We do have a world tour that is currently touring. It's in it's on a little bit of a rest, but it starts back up in Tel Aviv. It's been in the East for a while, and now it's going to be going through, you know, Western Europe, Italy. It's like, again, like I said, in Tel Aviv in August, it'll start back up, and it'll go through the UK and Switzerland and Turkey and Austria and, you know, all over. So that has been going for about a year now. And I believe it started I forget, but it went through China and it went to, Australia and, you know, all of the Eastern countries. So that's happened. There's also a sit down show in Berlin right now that has been running since it's been going since the early 2000s and still going strong. So there's a lot of productions that we have to maintain and to keep up with. So it's really exciting.
So now it's there's a lot more Blue Man than there were before than that, correct?
Absolutely.
Started.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
casting is a big deal. Is that what you were going to ask about?
Yes.
Ask these shows?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's really fun. It's an exciting process to cast Blue Men. It's a very unique audition. In fact, I just finished an 8-hour day yesterday auditioning potential new Blue Men. And it's unlike what most actors or performers experience in an audition, just like our show is very unlike what most people experience when they go to the theater, they go to see a show. And so there's a lot of sort of improv-based exercises that we do when we cast them. And, you know, it's hard. Honestly, it's a difficult process finding the right performer who is versatile musically but also has strong acting chops and is able to really embody this unique character. But they're out there, and we do find them. And so we're constantly casting. We're constantly auditioning. We audition all over the United States, but also, you know, abroad. And so it's just an ongoing process, you know, right? I think right now there are, boy, I don't know. You know, each city has about 6 to 7 cast members,
okay.
6 to 7 okay. blue men in each city. So that gives you a kind of a ballpark of how many active blue men in the world right now. You know, it's maybe 50 or so. And then we have a whole slew of people who have been blue men in the past and have moved on to other projects, but we keep track of so that we can use them in case of an emergency. If someone is injured or if, you know, someone, we have like a vacation crisis and suddenly we're short blue men, we'll draw upon what we call our bench blue men, which is also a pretty big network of people who we have trained and who know the character and that we can call on, but who aren't actively in a cast at the time.
I got you. Now, Matt, where would you rank yourself in blue men? They're the three you talked about, the originals. When did you come on board compared to them? That I'm just interested in learning that.
Well, if you're asking me if I'm one of the best blue men in the entire world, then the answer is yes. No, I'm kidding. I think what you're asking is when I was hired in the timeline of the company.
Yes.
Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Veteran status. Yeah. Well, I was hired in 2000, so 17 years ago. I've been doing it for 17
Holy
years.
Holy cow. Okay.
And at that point, the show had already been going for many years. So in the time that I've been in the company, you know, several of the more veteran blue men before me have left. And so, I mean, that's an interesting question. I think I'm one of the more veteran blue men still working in the company, but I'm certainly not like the first or second generation from the original.
I understand. Gotcha. And so now talking about tours, you talk about all these different performances all the time, all over the country, all over the world.
Yeah.
What about you and your tour? Do you go with the main group for touring? Like, what's the difference of seeing a performance in, let's say, as you talked about, another country compared to going out on your latest tour, the Blue Men? So is there a different group? Is it a different type of performance when you guys are going to bigger stages and stuff? Is that where you're traveling, Matt, to go?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm part of the New York City cast right now. So I'm
okay.
I don't travel around. I mean, part of the job might entail a lot of travel. And at one point years ago, I was on the North American tour, and I toured all over the United States with the show. But right now I'm currently just a full-time member of the New York City cast. So I pretty much stay put unless I'm asked to go do a special gig somewhere or something like that. So back to your question, I think I understand you're asking how different is a tour. If someone were to go see the show while it's on tour, how different is that from the sit down show?
Exactly. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm throwing you some different curveball questions, but I know our listeners from the great answers you've been giving us. I wanted to ask that for sure.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And it's a question that, I think a lot of people have. So, you know, the shows in the United States are very similar. We do have a show in Las Vegas, which of course we have to, you know, it has to fit in Vegas. So it's much bigger. It's a lot flashier. There's a lot more technology and unique pieces that are only in that show. So if someone were to see a show in Las Vegas and then come to see the show in New York or Boston or Chicago or something, you would definitely understand that it is the same show. It's the character remains the same no matter where the character is, no matter what show the character is performing in. It's always the same character. That will never change.
However, there are different pieces in different cities. So I would say in Las Vegas, you'll have probably a 30% different show than what you'd see in New York. And on tour, it's kind of similar. It's maybe 30 to 40% different than what you would find in one of the shows in the United States. But like I said, you'll definitely recognize, it's not like you're seeing an entirely different show. The character is always the same. Many of the pieces are identical. They're just either produced to fill a bigger stage, but they're the same pieces that we, some of the same music that we play in all of our shows, you know, because they've been tested, time tested, you know, these are the ones that,
exactly.
that have
yeah.
great content and they're really funny, just really great piece of music. And so those, you know, those kind of kernels of the show remain the same in any production that you're going to see.
All right. So you can check you out at blueman.com/New York for the tour in New York that you got for where you perform, the cast performs in
yep.
New York, but some cities aren't lucky enough to have Blue Man. So that's where you guys do a lot of the tours, right? The cities that already
right.
have everyday cast, they don't have to worry about it. So for example, if you come to Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh doesn't have a Blue Man group. So
right.
you guys at one point will tour Pittsburgh then, right?
That's right. So we have a North American tour that has been, you know, we don't tour year round. We have to, you know, kind of give the market a rest, so to speak. And it's going to launch soon. And that is being updated with new content as well. So it is not currently running. However, it is in the works very soon to take off again. And of course, that is the goal, exactly what you're talking about, is to bring the show to the areas that aren't near one of these sit-down shows. So, and just so your listeners can understand, there are sit-down shows in New York, in Boston, Chicago, Las Vegas, Orlando, those five in the United States, and Berlin in Europe. There is a world tour that is touring through Europe that I mentioned. And like we're talking about now, there's a North American tour that will start up again very soon with some updated content. And that tour will fill in the United, you know, it goes through North America. So it'll hit Pittsburgh. It'll hit the more rural areas in between and sort of allow the rest of the country to experience the show.
And we're on all over the world, too. So that's fantastic to bring those things up. So the best place people can go is Blue Man. .com for all the information then, right? For when the tour
Absolutely.
Is coming and all the different things. And check you out, Matt, at blueman.com/New York. And social media-wise, is it at Blue Man, pretty much everything? Twitter, Facebook?
Yeah.
All the, yeah.
Yeah, or at Blue Man Group, I think it is.
Okay. Awesome.
One of those. You'll find it. Yeah.
Yeah. You just Google you guys. Everyone knows that it's iconic. It was you did a tremendous job of really explaining to me how pretty much this works. And I wouldn't have thought that. I thought, oh, you guys just do a tour. I didn't know when I go to New York the next time, I'm coming to see Matt. Okay. And I'm coming
yeah.
to see you see you perform. And to know that there's certain cities, if you're in, man, let's go check out Blue Man. So awesome. Well, I appreciate
yeah.
you calling. Best of luck, man. And thanks for really explaining all about the Blue Man Group history and where people can see them. Okay.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. Take care, Matt. See ya. Okay. See ya.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
You bet. Bye.
You're listening to Neil Haley's show, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.